pray that now as we just spend some time in your word, Lord, that you would make the written word living. Lord, it be a lamp unto our feet and a light to us. Lord, bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. What a great song. I love that song that we just played. One of my favorite all-time songs. Isn't that powerful? Wash me with the water of your word. Kind of what I want to talk about today, I'll just spend some time with the Lord today. And one of those days where he kind of tells you where to turn. It's cool in 888, right? That's good numbers. New beginnings. But it's in my Bible, it's Psalm 120, end of Psalm 119, and Psalm 120 and 121. Some really cool stuff here. Familiar, especially Psalm 120. In my trouble, I cried to the Lord, and he answered. And here's what his cry was. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. Meaning, deliver me from false accusation. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, O deceitful tongue? You know, the thing about warfare, the enemy does two things with that. One is he tries to stay hidden. He doesn't like to reveal himself, right? And he comes as an angel of light. So he tries to stay hidden, shooting arrows and accusations, making you think that it's you or that it's from God. And that's how he is, right? So this prayer here was, Lord, deliver me from these deceitful tongues. And this way he says, what will deliver me? Sharp arrows of the warrior and the burning coals of a broom tree. Psalm 64 talks about the Lord shooting arrows. Talks about the enemy shooting arrows at us from concealment, and then about God shooting arrows back at him in judgment, right? There's something about the arrows and fire that comes before God's presence, right? We were talking about that last night. All four of us that were here on Wednesday night. Bracken, you made five, right? But you had to leave early. We're talking about that, just calling down the fire, calling down the thunder in our prayers. Out of Revelation 8, when the angel took the fire out of the coals of fire out of the altar and threw them down to the earth. It's a great picture of intercession and prayer. But this right here, it really meant a lot to me today because I had one of those nights. Didn't get a lot of sleep last night. Some of it's warfare, others just stuff physically that I had to go through. And but I was just waking up, and when I'd wake up, I would just have these, not random thoughts, but it would just be thoughts that kept me from going back to sleep, you know, deep concerns and stuff, maybe that I have done or hadn't done. And I thought, what in the heck? So finally got back to sleep and just woke up with it still on my mind. So it was really cool when the Lord shared this with me, just encouraging me that it was from deceitful lips. It wasn't from him, all right? God has to speak something really cool to you. He's not going to do it. I mean, something to you that about your life or something that he wants to give you something better or something that you want to do. He's not going to do that in the early hours of the morning, right? And keep you up. Unless it's just something just awesome and puts you right back to sleep. But that's not the time when he deals with us, right? It is the time when he's more active. Like right around 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 a.m. Is his busiest time. So I don't know if you've ever awakened at that time, somewhere around 3, 2.33, 3.30. That's the height of his activity. Then it goes on to say, woe is me, for I sojourn in Meshech. And that is, Meshech is a place, that word actually means who is drawn by force. And I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Kedar was Ishmael's son, right? And when it says that I dwell in the tents of Kedar, remember, the battle we go through daily is always the law versus grace. Man's effort versus what God has already done. And there's kind of an obscure verse in Genesis, and you'll kind of go right by it if you're not looking for it. But then it says it again in Galatians chapter 4 that when Isaac was born, or when he was weaned, not when he was born, when he was weaned, that Ishmael was mocking him. And it said this, Paul said this, and so it is today. And he was talking about the two covenants, one with Sarah and the other with, what was Ishmael's mom's name? Yeah, Hagar, thank you. Hagar and that one about the covenant, the other one about, you know, it was just grace versus, that's what Galatians is all about, the grace of God versus law. So when I'm dwelling in the tents of Kedar, I'm hearing the law. I'm hearing those legalistic, which is always is you haven't done enough, or look what you did. You have violated this, or you're not obeying it, right? So a deliverance is, a prayer is, Lord, deliver me from the tents of Kedar. Let me hear your word that's always going to be cleansing, and washes me, and encourages me, right? Psalm 40, David says just these awesome things. He said, God speaks awesome things, and I'm paraphrasing, so clean out my ears, Lord, so I can hear. He says, too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace. I am for peace when I speak, they are for war. When God speaks, there's always peace there, right? Have you noticed that? If you get a word from the Lord, you know it's from Him, it's just shrouded. That's how we can really discern. We'll be doing that the rest of our lives. We hear a lot of, voices, but we really do. We hear our voice, you know. We can hear the voice of our fallen humanity. We can hear the enemy's voice, who surfboard riding in is the law of sin and our fallen humanity. And we hear God's voice. And they all sound alike. Right? So people ask me, what does God's voice sound like to you? And I thought, it sounds like a lot like my voice. Thoughts I get, right? Sometimes I kind of, it's pretty clear. Other times I'm thinking, God, did you speak that? And I was talking to a guy yesterday, his name's Matthew Raheem Smith, really cool guy, doing a lot for Selma. He met with me yesterday. We were just talking about Selma and all the cool things God is doing. And I was just talking to him how God is so involved in just details, just small details of our life. Tuesday night, I was headed to Bible study, and TC was bringing something out of the house, and I had a couple of Tylenol stuff in my pocket I was going to take, and I was sitting down, I was reaching in my pocket. The Holy Spirit said, don't take them out now, you're going to drop them, you know? And I thought, that's not the Lord. Guess what? I dropped them, and one of them got in the little crevice there in my truck, and I had a hard time getting it out, and I thought, that is so cool, Lord. I wasn't, you know, bummed, because I was kind of bummed. That I disobeyed the Lord. Oh my goodness. I thought, Lord, that is just so cool. He wants us to hear Him in just all kind of details about it, especially discerning His voice daily in the battles we go through, right? And it says this, and I'll just read some of Psalm 121 because it's so cool. No, actually, I'm going to jump over to Romans chapter 8. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? It says this, who will bring a charge against God's elect? That word charge there is to accuse, followed by guilt. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? So if you're getting a charge from the enemy, guess what follows it? Guilt. If you're struggling with guilt, it's not from God. He doesn't use guilt, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you've ever tried to use guilt to do anything in your life, like you want to go on a diet, so you kind of guilt yourself into it or beat yourself up, never works. That's just kind of a law God has set in motion. Guilt never works. No condemnation in Christ. So if you have a thought that comes to you, and that thought is clothed with guilt, it's not. I know these things we don't know, but God is the one who justified. Justified meaning I'm in Christ just as if I had never sinned. It says, who is the one who condemns? To condemn is to, it really means to judge down or to put shame on you. Right? So the enemy's voice will with guilt and make a person carry around a sense of shame. Have you ever carried around shame before? Kind of ashamed of yourself or something? Gosh, I have. A bunch of times. And I was dwelling in the tents of Kedar. I didn't even know it. I was just entertaining shame, thinking that that was from the Lord. Never. Right? Jesus says Jesus hates shame. In Hebrews chapter 12, He hates it. He took shame on His body. We know that was crucified without any clothes on at all and took all of our shame. You know, how much more shameful can a person be than that, right? And it says He rejects, and that word means hate. Jesus hates shame. Shame is never for me. One thing He delivered us from. Really cool. Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, none of it. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. Amen. So may we hear His voice in everything.